is a word from Class Central, the most popular search and review site for online courses. If you've ever gone on the hunt for a great online course from a top university, then you may already know about Class Central. Class Central is the most comprehensive search engine for MOOCs and online courses. The site lists over 10,000 courses and allows you to search by subject, university, keyword, and language of instruction. With tens of thousands of user reviews, you can use Class Central to help you decide if a course is right for you. And if you're into geeking out about online learning like I am, you'll love diving into Class Central's MOOC report. The MOOC report covers everything that's going on in the MOOC space, with news, analysis, and opinions about the fascinating world of online courses. A great place to start is with Class Central's in-depth analysis of the state of MOOCs in 2017. You can find a link in our show notes. Or if you're interested in finding out which courses are ranked the highest, check out Class Central's course rankings for the month and the year, or have a look at the top 50 MOOCs of all time. Hi everyone, and welcome to this latest episode from the EdTech Podcast. Our mission is to improve the dialogue between Ed and Tech for better innovation and impact. And this week, we are delighted to be in conversation with Jesus Ariel Sanchez, a K-12 teacher from the E.E. Miller Elementary School in North Carolina. Jesus is a listener to the EdTech Podcast, and we got the chance to meet and record at this year's South by Southwest EDU after he had taken on some ideas for a makerspace and use of augmented reality from our past episodes, which was very, very cool. Jesus has a master's degree in the integration of virtual learning environments and is originally from Colombia, so we naturally also talked about cycling, as well as a whole list of apps and other tools which Jesus is currently using to engage his class, so listen in closely to this short and sharp episode. But before all of that, this week we had some brilliant interactions from listeners from around the world. First up, hello to Chance, who dropped an email to us titled Love the Podcast and said, Hi Sophie, first off, just wanted to say I love the podcast and what you've been able to accomplish so quickly. I've been a listener since last summer and really enjoy listening to the episodes. My favourite is the China and EdTech episode. We're in such a fascinating moment for EdTech. I was wondering if in your journeys in the EdTech realm, have you come across any startup or organisation involved in facilitating collaborative learning online? Thanks in advance, Chance. So hi Chance. Yes, I'd recommend you looking up anything from FutureLearn to Belugo to the WonderWhy Society to Be Masterly to 42 Courses. So those companies variously are from the UK, the US, the UK again, Australia and South Africa. What about other listeners? What recommendations for collaborative learning online would you share with Chance? Next up, Richard Taylor messaged to correct Anant Agarwal's tracing of the entire MOOC movement back to Sol Khan, tweeting, The first real MOOC was Plato, in brackets, programmed logic for automatic teaching operations, close bracket, developed in 1960 at the University of Illinois. Sol Khan may be inspirational, but he's not the father of the entire MOOC movement. So there we go. Perhaps multiple inputs over time for the MOOC movement. What do you all think? And then a favourite update from India from Ramya Srinivasan or at @rum_sr who tweeted, At Podcast EdTech, do you have a podcast on online learning design pedagogies being planned? You are my morning podcast during the @uber_india commutes. Well, thank you, Ramya. I love the idea of you chilling in the early morning snarl up, listening in. We do have way more episodes coming and lots on learner experience design and motivation at our festival in September, in case you want to come over to London for that. I'd love to say hi in person, so if you don't make it here, maybe I'll make the trip out to you soon. And finally, a big congrats to past guest and listener Stefan Casper, or at Dots and Spaces, who just recently announced that he will be leaving his post at the University of Southampton to move to Pittsburgh to a new role working on media and multicultural projects at the Carnegie University. So good luck, Stefan, and keep throwing us some thoughts and comments from the US. We hope your move goes very smoothly. Wow, what a mega week of updates and listener comments, so keep them all coming. Big thanks to Class Central for supporting this week's episode. Next week, we have a feature episode on Nordic excellence featuring 100, Oslo EdTech and 21-year-old AI startup founder. Until then, have a wonderful week. It's a pleasure to meet you in person.
Oh, it's nice to meet you too. It's very exciting.
So you were just telling me how you came to find out about the EdTech podcast.
Yes. There is a list of people who are going to attend the event. And I saw the words podcast and TED. And I found that this is something that I really wanted to listen to. And I started to listen to a podcast and I was fascinated about the content, about the quality of the guests that you have. And I plug into the programs and I haven't been able to stop listening to your shows.
It's very kind, and thank you for your kind words.
Yes.
And which episodes have you listened into?
I have been listening to episodes about augmented reality, virtual reality, and makerspace. That makerspace show was very impactful for me because I saw that it was so practical. There were so many things that you were talking about and that your guests were showing how you can make a makerspace in your classroom so easily. And
yeah, the first guest, Kate especially, was
yes.
So inspiring, I thought.
Yes, because she made it sound like it was so easy.
Yeah.
And it was. 2 days after I listened to the podcast, I decided to create my own makerspace in my classroom, and I use centers, rotations, and I had some kids work in Legos. They made their own creations, and another group worked with green screen, and there was another group that worked with circuits. And kids were fascinated because it's very different from the usual routine that we have in the classroom.
So tell me a little bit about your school and your particular role and, you know, what you teach and what the school's like as well, so we can get a picture of where you are.
Okay, I work in North Carolina in a school called E. Mill Elementary. Our school is a global school and we bring a lot of international teachers, including myself. And the idea with this school is that we are able to show the students the world through the visions of international teachers. But there are also regular teachers. I teach fourth grade, elementary, teach all the subjects, science, social studies, math, reading, spelling, and that's what I do.
And so what was the outcome of the makerspace?
The first intention was just tinkering, just trying new ideas.
Yeah.
But I saw potential in this and I tried it again. And I tried it again several times. And every time I tried it, it became so much easier, so more natural for the kids to be exposed to activities that are far from the routine of the classroom. Okay. And I have set myself goals. And I want to combine different technologies. For example, I want to combine Legos with green screen, and I want to combine it with stop motion. So the idea is that kids create their own Lego movies.
Okay.
Then they animate the backgrounds, and at the same time, they make they create animations with stop moving technology, And I think that this is something that has so much potential because it's something that kids can apply in their life right away.
And you were here, are you here with colleagues today?
Yes, we are a group of teachers who participate in a contest. It's an educational contest organized by Participate. Participate is an agency that is in charge of promoting global education and bringing international teachers.
Yeah.
And in this contest, we had to create an innovation for something related to global education, how we can promote a global education in our classroom. So in my proposal, I use, again, green screen technology. And there is an app called DoInk.
Yeah.
And it's very user-friendly. My kids use this app, and they did research about a European country, and they presented this in this country, and after this they animated the backgrounds.
And so what was the research about?
They had to find different points of comparison between American culture and the culture in Europe. So kids were able to become more aware about the different aspects of everyday life, how the food that people eat in Europe. And it was an amazing project because at the end the kids saw themselves present, their final product was presented, and we put all the pictures in a bulletin board. And the kids use an app that I heard in your program as well, called Arasma.
Okay.
And they use augmented reality, so when anybody in the school came to see the bulletin board, they would be able to see that picture come into life with their presentations. It was very, very powerful for the students to see that.
And so, I'm guessing, so you entered the award, and then you were a winner of the award. And
yes.
So that means that you've been sponsored to come down.
Yes.
And visit this event?
I was sponsored to come here, and I was allowed to not go to work for 4 days.
just for the listeners, there's a big smile on your face right now. That's quite funny. So what are you excited about? You know, who are you excited about meeting with and about watching? And
first, I was excited about meeting you.
That was yes. So cool. The timing was funny,
yes.
Wasn't it?
It was amazing. And I love how you can connect so easily with people and you are able to bring from them the meat of what they do. And the responses from them about makerspace, about augmented reality and virtual reality was so rich that it's very easy for a teacher to apply it in real life.
Well, that's very kind. It's so cool to meet listeners from around the world in person, and you know, coming to South by Southwest, it's so far away, and you end up meeting people that, oh, I listen to you. Yeah, it's funny feeling, but it's wonderful to connect with people all over the world through it. I guess it's a bit like blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And people experience something similar through that as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of the apps that you've been enjoying using. Are there any particular other resources or people or Twitter chats, other things that you get a lot from in terms of your practice as a teacher as well?
Yes, I'm trying a lot of augmented reality apps. One of them is a Quiver. It's a coloring page that can be turned into life.
What's that called?
Quiver.
Quiver, okay. So you've got Curiscope on there as well.
Yeah.
These
yes.
guys based in Brighton,
yeah.
I think.
Which one?
Curiscope, this virtual tea.
Oh, yes, okay. Virtual tea, and it's an app that you use, you wear a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Based on that t-shirt, you scan it, and then you can see people's organs
yes,
in real
yeah.
life. It's so awesome for the kids.
So Ed's been on the podcast as well on one of the previous...
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And other apps... Word brush.
Okay, what's word brush?
Word brush, you are able to create signs, or you can create any write, and the writing turns into a 3D image.
Oh.
So you, with your students, let's say that you are doing a math class, you can do a scavenger hunt. You can put different problems around the school, and the kids go with their iPads or their devices, and they found it in 3D. It's
almost
amazing.
Like orienteering, and then you get to the point, and then you do your mass equation rather than just...
Yes. Yeah. Kids are able to move, and they are able to do so many things.
That's very cool. And that one's Word Brush.
Yes.
So is that an augmented reality app as well?
Yes. And then also Zookasam. In Zookasam, you're able to bring animals or dinosaurs to life. And this is also very interesting. And I'm very excited about meeting the creator of BrainPop. They're going to be here. And my kids love their videos. And it's another app that I love to use in my classroom.
And how do you generally go about finding these apps? Is it through word of mouth, through other educators or research? Or?
Usually I find credible YouTubers that are devoted to learn and talk about apps and or other bloggers. And they talk about these apps and they list them. So I look for them, and the next time, I try them.
You try them,
yes.
And then you kind of decide, okay, am I going to keep that
yes.
or ditch it?
And most of them, I try to do it regularly so that kids are able to master something.
The
idea is to have mastery, but there are some apps that that I feel that do not apply to my contest, so I just ditch them. But
yeah, it's interesting. And how about you? How did you get into teaching? How long have you been teaching for and all of that good stuff?
Okay, I come from Colombia.
Yeah.
And in Colombia is...
One of my favorite cyclists comes from Quintana.
Oh, yes, yeah. Nairo Quintana. Yes, yeah. We admire him so much.
I've seen him in real life in France going up the mountain.
What?
And there's always loads of like Colombians running up the hill, waving their flags. It's brilliant. I love
Oh,
it.
Yes. He. Yeah. We are so proud of him.
And they travel all the way just to go and see him. It's amazing.
Yes, people go and travel just to go on and being able to observe him. We have very
and he's quite small, but he's so fast.
He has made a huge success as a cyclist.
Yeah, he's good. I reckon he'll win it one year.
Yes, and I think he's gonna do very good this year.
Yeah. I'm doing a cycling challenge at the end of May, and I'm cycling 720 kilometers from the Atlantic through the Pyrenees to the Mediterranean.
Oh wow.
So it's lots of the Tour de France climbs.
Yes.
So if anyone's to sponsor me, all the details are in the show notes. But yeah, Quintana's very cool.
And he's a very humble person. He comes from very a poor family, but you listen to him speaking Spanish and he's like an everyday citizen. We feel very proud of him.
Yeah, that's very cool. So sorry, I interrupted because I got
it's okay.
So you're from Colombia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I started to learn English in college.
Yeah.
And one of my teachers inspired me to become a teacher.
And why was that?
And the way he taught the lessons made us realize that as teachers, we're able to touch so many lives.
Yeah.
So teaching is not only a job.
And how do you keep energized? Because it is an extremely draining job as well. So you have to put so much into it. So, how do you keep going and how do you...
I think that the key is for you to be an innovator. Because when you are trying new ideas, your days are not the same.
How do you find the time? Because I hear that, there's the long days.
I think it's a matter of efficiency. And sometimes my wife might say that I work too much.
Yeah.
I do, but I find the time to nourish my passion. I feel passionate about using technology in my classroom. And when you love something, it doesn't matter how much time you spend on it.
And how did you get into using tech? Did you think, was this always a passion of yours or did you just sort of come by it?
Well, I come from Universidad de la Sabana. I did a master's degree in integration of virtual learning environments with education. And in that master's degree, they show us the potential of technology. They show us that you can as a teacher ask a question and then two or three students answer, but with technology you can have the whole classroom respond to that answer. So you're able to get your kids more engaged, and kids are able to create products that are applied to real life. If they wanted to be once animators, they can do that. If they wanted to learn coding, they can use technology. And I think that those are careers that are going to be useful for them when they graduate from high school or from college.
Very interesting. Do you use Twitter and
other? Oh, yes. Yes, sometimes a lot of the things that you share.
Okay, yeah.
And you link, for example, Lego education. And they have lesson plans. They have activities and a lot of ideas. And people who follow you usually share a lot of apps, ideas. And I think that that's what helps me to find the content of things that I want to apply.
I suppose in the UK, there's a struggle for teachers to navigate what works.
Uh-huh.
It's never that simple, what works. But is it something similar in the US, or is it down to just trial and error? And
I think that it comes from having an administrator mm-hmm. in your school that supports you.
Okay.
My current principal, he loves to see us try new ideas. We receive technology badges. So every time we try a new app, we earn a badge.
Okay.
So we are constantly motivated to try a new idea. Sometimes we fail, but at the same time we learn.
And is your school a state school or is it a private school?
It's a public school.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's public funded. And do you feel like there's enough funding to try all these things? Because sometimes we hear that, mm-hmm. you know, people would like to try stuff, but budget is an issue and that kind of thing.
I think that the things that we have are sometimes sufficient, but I think that the funding should increase. I think that the funding for public education should be higher. In that way, teachers are able to come to events like this. Kids are able to access more technology in the classroom. And I believe that more funded should go towards education.
I heard today that Betsy DeVos is going to give a surprise visit to the conference on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you had a message, what would it be?
I would say that public education is essential. That teachers and students are the future of our country. So if we want our country to make progress, we need to focus our attention and our resources towards schools.
I'll pass it on. Well, it was wonderful to meet you.
Yeah.
And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This week's episode. If you enjoy the EdTech podcast, please consider taking a look at our Patreon site and signing up for just $1 a month. I hope that you get more value than that from each listen, and if enough of you do it, it will be a wonderful thing. If that's not your cup of tea, but you love giving reviews, feel free to post a review on iTunes or Spotify, or share the podcast with an EdTech or Edu friend. That's all for now. We will be back soon with more from South by Southwest EDU and around the world. Bye-bye.